We shall meet Fink today. He is a new singer-songwriter, but that was not always so. For years, he performed as a DJ in clubs and recording for the primarily electronic label Ninja Tune Records. Today, we'll hear the story of his change and live versions of the resulting songs. I started out by asking Fink about DJing and how that has changed over the years that he pursued it.
Well, Ninja Tune, we used to do a night at the Blue Note in London, which was a very cool bar club in Hoxton Square, and I remember DJing there when I first moved down to London, and just playing with three decks was considered, wow, that's crazy, and being innovative and mixing was par for the course, and dance music became in a way the norm for club life in the late 90s. In a way, it wasn't cool or original to go out to a club and dance to a DJ. It was kind of what everybody did, and it stormed the charts and all that kind of stuff, and it just felt a bit weird. I remember the moment where I kind of thought maybe DJing isn't as cool as I thought it was when I saw a Spice Girls video, and they were miming scratching as part of their video, and their core audience is like 8, do you know what I mean? I was just like, damn, it's not so cool anymore. And although I still do some DJing under different names, and because I still love DJing, I still love electronic music, but I find it much more rewarding and satisfying in a different way when I make a song as opposed to a cool track. You know, it's kind of hard to put it into words, but there's something really powerful about writing a good song and thinking, wow, I just did that, and that exists forever. Now, as a song, you can even re-record it in a different way, but it's still, the song still exists through that process. And it's kind of, a very different kind of mental process to dance music, which is what's cool, what did you hear last Saturday in the club, that DJ played that amazing tune, let me try and do something like that.
Let's hear one of the tunes, because
cool, man. What's first?
Pretty Little Thing, which
we've
been playing a bit, and we'll start with that. This is Fink live on the World Cafe.
When she leaves, she's just asking to be followed. When she walks out, all she wants is to be left. Now my boy say she's just asking for it. Now you ain't saying nothing. No, no, she couldn't care less. No, no, wearing that dress, I tell ya, pretty little thing. No, no, hot little thing. Hot little thing, you know, say, don't suppose it would be cool if we were ghosts. When you walk by, you know every guy noticed the way that your dress clings on for the ride. But what's inside the counselor? Now my boy say she's the type to fake it. Now you ain't saying nothing. No, no, she couldn't care less. No, no, couldn't wear less, I tell you, pretty little thing. No, no, hot little thing. hot little thing who knows it. Don't suppose it would be cool if we own. Yeah, yeah. We could go out, we could go anywhere that you wanna. We could stay in, we could do anything that you want. We could do lunch, so something. Cause when you walked in, all I wanted was a reason to talk to that girl, yeah. Talk to that girl whose grace is so rare. With a flick of the hair, you know I'm in there. Now my boys say you won't get her numbers, but I already am. Now I won't tell them nothing. This is 079. Pretty little thing, hot little thing, hot little thing, you know it. Don't suppose it would be cooler. Don't suppose it would be cooler. Don't suppose it would be cooler. Don't suppose it would be cool if we own. Pretty little thing. Yeah, yeah.
Pretty Little Thing, that is the our introduction to the music of Fink. And I've heard a great story about when you actually, you know, you'd written these songs and you went and presented to the label. You were not entirely forthright when you came to them, right?
Yeah, totally. It's so true. And it worked. And it worked a treat. I mean, we told my manager, who's a really great guy, Summit, he's a really top bloke. He sort of said, look, you know, we shouldn't tell Ninja that it's you. And I'm like, you know, just to see what reaction we get. And because I've been working with a lot of singers, including people like Amy Winehouse and people like that, to do singing tracks for my electronic stuff, if you see what I mean. I was kind of going into that kind of 07 territory where I wanted to make a electronic record with singers, you know what I mean? And when I did Pretty Little Thing, I played it to a few people and they didn't know it was me, you know, singing, because my singing voice is quite different from my spoken voice, I guess. And so we kind of, we didn't tell Ninja. We actually lied to them and told them it was an American guy who's 18, really cute, you know, unsigned, you know, going to be big, all that stuff. And played him like three or four tracks. We only had to sort of come clean when they kind of sort of said, so is this guy available for touring? Is he, you know, what's his address? And all this kind of stuff. And I wanted an honest vibe, you know. I wanted to play the stuff to the people, you know, the record company. And for them to be honest, and if they thought the singer wasn't very good or the lyrics weren't very good, or do you know what I mean, or the style was a bit rubbish, I didn't want them to feel like they couldn't say it because I was in the room, you know. And so I got a very honest opinion from them when I sort of said, you know, do you think I should keep working with this guy, you know, do you think I should do this or do that? And they were just like, no, we love it, you should do a whole album with him. So I'm like, cool, well, that's convenient, you know, good work. So.
You were lucky with that one, that's good.
Yeah, totally.
Well, let's do another one. Let's do the title track, Biscuits for Breakfast. Of course, here in the U.S., biscuits don't mean biscuits or cookies.
No, what is it? It's cookies, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And what does it mean, biscuits for breakfast? What's
biscuits are cookies, and when I used to work in a job that I thought I really wanted. That's the point of biscuits. It's one of those. I thought I wanted this job, and I spent 4 years getting it, and then kind of realised that I didn't really want it anymore. I wanted to kind of opt out, and So biscuit, I used to deliver, my first job was to deliver biscuits to all the, and tea and coffee to all the floors of a massive corporation, a music corporation. I'd be in the office first at like 8 in the morning and delivering biscuits to all these floors, and I'd always be going out and partying because I was DJing as well, you know. I'd never have time for breakfast or time for dinner, and so I'd come in the morning and pretty much have my breakfast would be whatever biscuits I was delivering on that day. And so the song is kind of saying that that's what I was eating when I first started, and then 4 years later when I had an office and the job that I wanted and all that kind of thing, I was still really busy, I still didn't have time, and I was still eating biscuits for breakfast. And, you know, it's kind of a song about going for your dreams and really going for your goals, and then the kind of sadness maybe when you kind of realise that it's not as good as I thought it was going to be, or you know, it's, I don't feel as good as I thought I would doing this, you know.
This is it. This is Biscuits for Breakfast.
Sweet. Here we go.
Biscuits for breakfast and a cup of tea for the man. 4 more years of this shh, and I'll be on 16 grand. Pushing the trolley on, doing the rounds. 4 more years of this shh, and I'll be one of those clowns. In my office, on the 5th floor, biscuits from breakfast, yeah, biscuits. Biscuits from breakfast, a cup of tea for me. 4 years on in this game and I'm on 16G. Now I want chocolate, give me some cake, give me so much more than I think I can take. In my office, on the 5th floor, biscuits from breakfast, yeah, biscuits. And over a barrel, over my trolley, over my desk, it's all the same. Pushing the message that don't hate the player, hate the game, yeah. It's all the same, it's all the same. In my office, on the 5th floor, I can see my world go round beneath me. Biscuits from breakfast, yeah. I can see my world pan out before me. And I can see my world pan out. And I can see my world pan out before me, yeah. And I can see it. And I can see it. And I can see it.
title track of Fink's debut album, singer-songwriter album, Biscuits for Breakfast, which is out on Ninja Tune, and Fink is playing live for us today on the cafe. Now, you're from Bristol.
And, that's right,
And here in the U.S., I think Bristol is known as kind of the place where a lot of very cool dance music has come from. Massive Attack from Bristol.
Portishead.
Yeah.
Tricky, Smith & Mighty. It's a great, you know, there was a really hot scene there for a while. It was just a great place to live, really relaxed. Massive West Indian community, lots of reggae, lots of dub, lots of soul. Far away enough from London so that it can be its own thing, and close enough to London to get all the stuff that London gets, you know. So great place for an act like Massive Attack, who were kind of doing dubbed out, soulful, sample-based funk stuff. And it wasn't a good place to be making sort of happy house, you know. Everything is relaxed, and there's a very relaxed quality of life, and it's just a lovely sunny place, you know, a really good place. And you know, Portishead, when Massive Attack did Blue Lines and then Protection, everyone kind of thought that can't be topped. But then when Portishead did Dummy, that really was a really West Country sounding record, a real West Country sound, and you know, still hasn't been beaten, I don't think. I know every producer, including myself, spent a couple of years after hearing that trying to do it, you know, and you can't. You need to have Beth Gibbons, you know, to be able to do Portishead stuff, and none of us had her.
Here's something I was wondering. Is there anything you learned about how to work with a crowd from clubs that informs a live performance, or are they just two completely different things?
That's a good question, man. They're very different things, and different people who like to do different things, and they recreate in a very different way. But I think one of the things that I've stood me in very good stead is that I don't really get that nervous before a gig. When I first started doing live stuff, I got very nervous because you think, I'm going to forget the words, I'm going to forget the tune. But after you play the tunes a couple of hundred times, you just don't. And it's the same with DJing, you know. Quite often on Ninja Tune nights, you wouldn't just be the guy in the DJ booth that they'd put the stage up and put a table on it and then put a spotlight on you like you were going to do some kind of acrobatic, you know, dancing, or like it was worth looking at you. So you kind of got used to performing a little bit rather than just DJing. You kind of got used to, you know, you wanted moments in your set where you were doing lots of things that was impressive orally as well as, you know, quite fun to look at, I think. And that stood me in good stead, because a lot of times as a Ninja Tune DJ, you get booked to play really big clubs, and it is a bit unnerving standing in front of 2,500 people and then go and then go on and make me have a good time. And if I don't have a good night, it's your fault. So you have to work really hard. But the good thing about it, I tell you, this is wicked, I tell you, is the fact that, you know, when you do it, when you're a live act, my set's only, you know, 50 minutes long. And I play, you know, it's only, you know, I've got 12 or 13 tracks that I know I'm going to play in some kind of order. Whereas when you're a DJ, you're on for 3 hours sometimes, and you know, you haven't got a clue what they're going to like, you know, especially when you go abroad. So it's been a real relief to not walk into these gigs like I used to do as a DJ, going, God, I hope they like jungle, or I hope they like reggae, or I hope they like Ninja Tune stuff, because if they don't, the next 3 hours are going to pretty much suck for them, you know. But as a singer-songwriter, especially if they've come to see you, at least you know, well, they probably like me, that's why they've come out to see me. So you kind of, it's a bit easier to, you don't feel quite so threatened by the audience, because you think, well, they like you, that's why they're here, so...
Fink is our guest on the cafe today. Tell me about Make It Good. Was that out on the British album, or is that just out here, or what's the story with that?
That's a track featured on the new Bonobo album. Another artist on Ninja Tune who's kind of embraced the song. It's a song about, you know, possibly about, you know, when you see your ex, or you see someone that you shouldn't necessarily get involved with, and you know that if they stayed over, you know, you do things that maybe you shouldn't do, and that's both, you know, you both dream of, you want to do that, but also, you know, it might be bad if you do, and it's, you know, about that kind of confusing place that men often find themselves in, I guess.
Well, so this is a solo version of Make It Good.
And if it's on, it's on for good.
gone for good. Let me tell you, and if you stayed over, you know we would. Back together, make it good if I could. And if I breathe in the future, breathe out the past. This moment, as long as it lasts, let me tell you, and put it back together, piece by piece, and if you stayed over, and I'll make it so sweet, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I'll make you remember, baby, from your head to your feet. If you go now, babe, we'll never know how it ends. So make it
make it good. That is Fink. Thank you so much for playing live for us today. Real treat.
Thank you. It's been a real pleasure.
Fink, our guest, and we'll be back in a moment here on the World Cafe.